start over here, learn a little Navi, and then we'll learn about some Gedalia. We'll learn a little Agod and Halacha, but let's start now with page 354, Pasuk Zayin. Ach betzelem yisalech ish achhevel yehem moyun yitzvar v'lo yeda mi oisvam. What a Pasuk.
Can we learn the Zechon Ishmael, my wife's grandmother, and Yerazel Bas, Aaron Yeshua Fisher.
May his neshama, may his neshama. That's a woman, a woman. A woman? What do you say with her? What do you say?
Huh?
What do you say? A grandmother? Her mother?
My wife's grandmother.
Your wife's grandmother. May her neshama have an aliyah. Okay, we'll learn the ilas nishmasa. Pasuk Zayin, ach betzel misalachish, ach hevel yehem mayun. Each word in this pasuk over here needs explanation. Yitzbar velo yeda mi oisvan. Litsudo istav at Pasuk Zayin. It appears on page 355. Pasuk says, "Ach b'tzelam ho'ish haloi b'choshech yahalech." A man, the mitzvah stavit ties the word. He's learning the word b'tzelam. Look in the mitzvah tzion. B'tzelam loshen tzal moves v'choshech. Not a good word to focus on to start off with on Sesim Yeshuva. Rashi is b'choshech. It's the same thing as b'choshech loshen b'hevish dunash. There's Dunash and there is Menachem and Rashi. Rashi always quotes from his Chavedim, Dunash, Loshon, Tzal Moves, the shadow of death, Tzel, and the Mem is short for Moves, Tzal Moves. So Menachem, Perishoi, Tzelem, Mamish, Image, Kmo, Kibit, Tzelem, Elokim, also Esau Adam, Velo Yitochnu, Divrav. He learns something first to Adam. Machloikis, between Dunash, it's a very nice Rashi. How often do you have a Rashi like this where Rashi cites, yeah, Rashi doesn't take sides?
Read the next sentence.
Okay, he says lo yitochnu, right? Lo yitochnu d'varav. He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. Okay, let's not. Okay, fine. Lo yitochnu. It's not likely. What exactly does lo yitochnu mean? What is the precise meaning of that word lo yitochnu? It's not yitochen. Okay, we'll see. There's an interesting. On Shabbos, was it when Shabbos or on Rosh Hashanah? There was a fascinating Rashi in the Daf Yomi, where Rashi says that there's another pshat in the Gemara. And he says, this is another girsa, and this is the girsa of the shaitan. Oh. Unbelievable, never saw that before in Rashi. You remember that? Rashi says it's the girsa shaitan, to say such a thing. And like, wow, usually Rashi is much more, okay, this is not correct, whatever, but to say such a girsa, fascinating. When we hear over here, Rashi says,
that's amateur stuff.
Some
of the critics,
what do you mean?
Some of the battles among the Forshim, they use terminology.
They're very passionate.
The other side.
The other side. Okay, they did some of the, well, this, well, you have that with...
Trump would be envious.
You have that with the Raivin. The Raivin and the Rambam. The Raivin and the Rambam. So he really goes to town.
Okay. My favorite.
V'zeh Hevel. Who says that? The Ravid says that sometimes?
Whoever it is, and Rav Karlbach, he translated that as baloney.
Very funny you say that word, baloney. Interesting. I'll tell you what, because I was in somewhere, Michal, you can probably figure this out. I was somewhere, and there was a Rebbe in the Talmud, and the Rebbe, there was a boy that was going to smoke on Yom Tov. So the Rebbe says, out of the house. You don't smoke. Don't smoke here in this house. So the boy said to Rebbe, did you ever smoke? I never in my life ever put a cigarette in my mouth. Never. So the boy said to the Rebbe, baloney. And Michal, you know what I'm talking about? I think you do. I said to the Rebbe, you let him talk to you like that? Let's go. B'tselem. Let's go. Over here, so this is a very fascinating Rashi. Rashi says that the two Pirush means B'tselem. B'tselem means it's still short for Tzel Moves. Tzadi Lamed is Tzel, shadow, and Mem is one word representing the word Moves, in the shadow of death. According to Menachem, it means Tzelem ki B'tselem Elohim Oso Es Adam. Now, when you look at the Mitzvah David, what does he say? Now, Mitzvah David says, Ach B'tzelem Ho'ish Haloid. Interesting. He starts off with the word Ho'ish, which after you read the Rashi would mislead you to think that maybe the Mitzvah David really wants to translate the word Tzelem as Menachem. Adam, man, Ach, man,
an image.
Man is in its created in the tselem Elokim. So you may be misled to think that ha'ish. No, but then right away he says, haloi be'choshech yelech. This man, he walks in darkness. So he's obviously, I mean, he says it himself in the Mitzudot Tzion that tselem refers to the tselmoves. This man, haloi, is it not true? Be'choshech yelech. And he collects, he works his entire life to assemble, to amass wealth, oysher, and wealth and assets. And what's the end? It all goes into the garbage. It all goes lehevel vorik koveitz hamoin oysher rav kihu tsoiver. He collects the in yodeh miya asim abayis. He does not know who will take it into the house ki penyomus. The ish acher ya'asvenu. It sounds like Koheles, this Rashi. Okay, that a person never knows. He works his entire life until he works his entire life, and what does he have from it? He has nothing from it. It all goes to someone else. The word yehemoyun means to assemble, to collect, to gather. Okay, let's finish up the mitzvah. So the next page. That's it. So now let's review the pasuk according to the Mitzudas David. Ach, only b'tzelem yahalech ish. A man lives his entire life in darkness. He works. He does not even know what he's working for, to collect wealth and to achieve success. And then at the end, or he's worried that ach hevel yehem moyun. What's the good word? My effort to assemble, to collect, to amass.
I can tell you how he translates.
Yes, please.
All that they stir is but vanity.
So he's translating the word stir. That's interesting. Stir. See, the Mitzudas David says it means to collect, savur, to collect, to gather together. Who tsoiver. Look at the Yikabe. In the Mitzudas Sion it says Yehamayun inyan kibbutz. Hamamon, uchmo mi ohev behamon. A person who loves to amass, to become very, very rich. And all of this, there is a daiga that eats up a person when he works, he toils to become successful and become super rich. Where is this money really going? Who is going to end up benefiting from this money? Will he benefit? Will his children benefit? Will it be stolen? Will it go somewhere else? Is it really all worth it? Ach hevel yehem moyun yitzbar. He collects, he gathers, velo yeda. Oh, sorry?
That's gathering.
Okay, that's the gathering. So the word yehem moyun, you're right, so you're saying that I didn't translate it correctly, but he says the same thing. The Tzudah Sion, he says it's part of repetition. He says the word yehem moyun means inyan kibbutz. And then the pasuk says clearly yitzbor, which means to collect. So he really says the same thing twice. This poetic repetition according to the Mitzudas David and Tzion, a person, he lives his life in darkness and he amasses wealth and he really wonders deep down inside, where is this money going? Let's see Rashi again one more time. Rashi first says it means, we said it means b'choshech, in darkness, like we said before, of tzalmoves, perishu dunash l'shoin tzalmoves, u'menachem perishu tzelem amish. So what does that mean? Ki kimoki b'tzelem elokim osa esho adam, v'lo yitochnu divarov. Now, Rashi says these words cannot possibly make sense, but how would it make sense? How would it make sense on a very superficial level?
Well, we'd have to see what Radak says about it.
Okay, let's find it. Let's wait then. Let's hold off then. Ach, let's finish with Rashi first. Ach hevel, who call ha miyo v'savo v'gaavo shelhem. It seems that Rashi is not translating the word, yehemoyun the same way as the Mitzudas, because he says it's hevel. All of this ha miyo. So you said Remchol, it means stirring, from the Judaica press. And he says something similar, I don't know, similar, but he says, kol hamiyah.
No, obviously that's where they got it.
V'savo, he adds a lot of different words. Desire, v'gavo, arrogance. Yehemoyun sound is a very hard word to really get your finger on. What does it say in the Targum? Targum says Baram bid yoykna de Hashem halech. Now that's the tzela. Look at that. What Rashi rejected, lo yitochein, is exactly what it says in the Targum. The Targum says bid yoykna de Hashem. Man is created in the tzela melokim. Okay, so the Targum. Okay, now we have to appreciate. Did Rashi ever see the Targum? Because the truth is, Chazal tell us there is no Targum on Tehil, on Kesuvim. There is no Targum on Kesuvim. That's what Chazal say. Why? Because now we won't spend a lot of time on this. Because Saints and Sefer Daniel, or Daniel, when he translates the words of what it says on the wall, I don't remember those words. Every Orthodox Jew should know those words by heart. I'm embarrassed, I forgot those words. Takel. Anyone remember those words by heart?
Yeah.
The handwriting on the wall, Daniel in the palace of Belshazzar. Your days are numbered. The measure is complete. Your days are numbered,
and
every Orthodox Jew should know this by heart. We have to go through all the basics. I have here a sefer. It is beyond belief. A sefer over here I have on the shelf over here. I have to show it to you. It has basically all the basics of Judaism. This sefer.
Minei tekel ufarsimin.
Farsin, minei minei tekel.
Your days are numbered.
Your time is up. I have here a sefer which has basically everything that an Orthodox Jew should know. I gotta show this to you later. It is unreal. This sefer. Later, I'll show it to you. And there he actually has it. One of the things that he lists over there. These basic yesoidas that everyone should know. Baal peh, their sleep. You should be able to wake up a person in the middle of the night and should tap them. You should be able to rattle off all of certain things that are very fundamental. But in any event, we have over here this word yehemoyun. It is a word which, according to Rashi, it's like a. It brings together many concepts. A person is, you said from the Judaic press, is stirred. It almost sounds like there's chaos inside the neshama of a person yearning for nonsense. It's not just chaos. It's a chaos of the neshama due to his inability to control his taiva for gashmius.
Acting on it,
knowing good and well,
things are stirred.
He's competing with the Joneses, keeping up with the Joneses, and he has taiva to enjoy himself, and he knows in the back of his mind that, you know, this is not really what life is all about. It really captures life. It captures the nisyonos of life. There's always this urge, more taiva, yehem moyun, and a person realizes, you know, Achevel, this whole game of life where we are continuously seeking to make money, to spend money, and to outdo our neighbors, and this guy has that, big deal, I have even better. He thinks he has a nice shiny car, I have even a better car. He has this, I have that. That's what life is all about. Yehemoyun, a state of chaos in our attempt to keep up with the Joneses. And a person deep down in their heart knows, this is totally crazy. This is nonsense. But what am I supposed to do? That's what life is all about. that is life. That's you gotta follow the rules. Follow the rules are, you gotta go through the motions and you have to, that's what you gotta do. Okay, you gotta do, you have to just hustle to keep going forward. And many people will tell you, that if you don't try to be a millionaire, you'll be in the poorhouse. People today will tell you, you want to make a parnasa, your goal has to be a billionaire. Because if your goal is to be a billionaire, maybe you'll get lucky, you'll make $50,000. But if you try to, I'll just make $50,000, I'll be a happy person, you won't even make a dollar. That's a very sad reality. And people have no the sheifas to make more and more and more, because unfortunately, it's so difficult. Okay, so Achevel Yehemoyun, so Rashi here says, very, very interesting translation, Kol Hamiyo, all of this commotion, okay, that's the good word, all of this commotion, Kerem Mechalku will use that word instead of stir.
Yeah.
Commotion. Vesava, desire. The word tava has a connotation of lust. The Yetzirah, lust. Yeah, that's a real dirty word, that word. Right? But that's what it really is. That's really what it is. By the way, I'm ignorant. Is lust only designated for...
No, for
anything.
Yeah,
you can lust for money.
Power.
Good, okay. Yeah. You can lust for anything.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good word. Okay, that's like that's a powerful word, right? It has a connotation that's a little bit too much.
Yeah.
A little bit over the top. More than you should. V'tava, v'gaiva, v'gaiva shalohen. So this is what people think about. Next words of Rashi Yitzvar. Now he says something different than what it said in the Mitzudos. In order that it should not be poetic repetition, here we're dealing with grain. Before we were dealing with cash. Now we're dealing with grain. Yitzvar tevua basodeh kol yimois hakotzir. V'lo yeda mi oisefav. He does not know for whom he is gathering this grain. Eini yodeh mi oisefav labayis. This is different. He doesn't know who will. Shema lefnei ha'osof yomus. He does not know who will gather it. Maybe he, the owner, the one who planted it, will die before the harvest. Okay, that's not what it said in the Mitzvah stuff. The Mitzvah stuff has a different nuance. The Mitzvah stuff, it says he does not know why he's putting away all this money in the bank. He doesn't know who's going to be nene, who's going to enjoy the money, who's going to spend the money. According to Rashi, he's describing it in a much more simplistic translation. There's grain, and he plants the grain, he sees that it's growing, and soon will be the harvest season. He does not know if he will live to make it to the harvest season. Who will be the gatherer? Who will be the gatherer? Mitzudos didn't seem to say that.
It doesn't sound consistent.
In the Mitzudos stuff, it says, mi ya'asfeim habayis, pen yomus, v'ish achenu. It says the same thing.
Isn't gathering bringing it together, bringing it somewhere?
Yes.
Gather it, leave it in the field. Who's going to bring it into
the
house?
The proof of that will be by mice.
You gather to dry out. The process was after the harvest, you do not take it into the silo. You collect it in the field, you let it sit in the hot sun in order to dry. It has to become, the sun has to thoroughly dry
the moisture
from the grain that's piled in the field. After the end of the summer, when it's 100% dry, then you gather it into the silo. And that's when the Chiyuv Maaser begins. Okay, we have the basic idea. Let's see. Now look at the Targum again. The Targum says, Bram, b'diyokna da Hashem, halech gevar, a man lives his life in the image of Hashem, Bram, lama mishdag shin, how do we get into that, we've got to mention this, the Rashi, how I mentioned, get sidetracked, we mentioned over here Sefer Daniel. In Sefer Daniel, it says that expression, and Chazal tell us that in that expression is hidden the Kates Hayomin, the day when Mashiach will come. Therefore, if Yonasan ben Uziel would have translated that word, those words, he would have in essence revealed when Mashiach will come. And being that there is a gezeira before Hashem that no one should know when Mashiach will come, Hashem did not allow Yonasan ben Uziel to translate that specific pasuk. So what is the obvious question? Okay, so don't translate that pasuk. But what about everything else in Sifrei Kesuvim? Fine, don't translate that pasuk. But Sefer Tehillim has nothing to do with that pasuk. What about Ezra, Nehemiah? What about Divrei Hayamim? What about the Chumash Megillos? Why can't Yonasan ben Uziel translate those pasukim? There's only one pasuk. Because of one pasuk, everything else has to suffer. Could you imagine what this world would be like today if we had a Yonasan ben Uziel on Tehillim? If we had a Yonasan ben Uziel on Divrei Hayamim, it would be a different world. He would have revealed incredible secrets. So the answer is that this Yesoid in Kesuvim. Kesuvim, the entire Kesuvim, is just an extension of that pasuk in Daniel. The entire Kesuvim is one concept on that topic of Yimos HaMashiach, of the Keitz HaYomim. And therefore, it's not the highlight, the most significant pasuk, which reveals the coming of Mashiach, is that specific pasuk. But the truth is, all of the Sifrei Kesuvim are a revelation of the Keitz Hayomim. And this is a Yisoid which answers the age-old question, at least one of there are only 100 answers, what exactly is the difference between Nevi'im and Kesuvim? Why is one book called Nevi'im? Why is Tehillim? Who wrote Tehillim? Primarily David and people who lived before him. Avraham, Moshe, these were the greatest Nevi'im. So if David's a Navi, and Moshe's a Navi, and who else did you say? Adam Arishain. So B'nai Korach, these are biblical characters. Don't you think that Sefer Tehillim should be part of the Sifrei Nevi'im, not Sifrei Kesuvim? Why? Why is one thing so? There's so many. They're very repetitive. The Radak has a lot of answers, but one answer is everything in Sifrei Nevi'im is focused on the past. Oh, you'll say, but the Nevi'im, they said prophecy that goes against an oxymoron. It goes against the whole principle of what's going to be in the future. It's different. It's true. They have a vision of what's going to be in the future. But the entire vision of the future is built on the foundation of the past. Sifrei Kesuvim are books of the past looking back at us. The focus of Sifrei, when Sifrei Kesuvim were written, they were written as if they're already in the future and they're looking back and shedding light on the past. Nevi'im is rooted in the past. Sifrei Kesuvim is rooted in the future. So that pasuk of Minei, how's it going? What was the pasuk in Ramchal? What was the pasuk? Takel, Minei.
Minei, Takel, Ufarsin.
Minei, Takel, Ufarsin. That pasuk is just one example, but all, and that tells us when Mashiach is coming. The Kates. Everything in Sifrei Kesuvim is an extension of that pasuk. And if Yonasan ben Uzil would have translated any pasuk in Sifrei Kesuvim, it would already be a revelation in some way of the Keitz Hayomim, which Hashem says Gezer Himu Lefana, that cannot happen, and that is why nothing in Sifrei Kesuvim are translated. Oh, so what then do we have on the page? The Targum. This was a modern translation. It was like an art school translation. The one who translated this is not from Har Sinai. This is not Targum Onkelis. This is not Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. I think they call this Targum Yosef. There was a person who was a very holy person, a very great person. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't Onkelis. He wasn't Yonasan ben Uzziel. He was a very holy person. And he wrote a translation like today. Someone writes an art school translation on the Siddur. Rabbi Davis. He sits over here, Rabbi Davis. So the Rabbi Davis of that generation, he wrote a parish. Rashi, he may have lived in the time of Rashi. He may have lived in the time of Rashi. He may have lived before Rashi. But Rashi didn't bother with him. Rashi did not take him seriously. Yeah, it's like you go and you read, you open up an Arshul Chumash and you have a translation. Yeah, it's very nice. It's a very good thing. You need a translation. You have to learn. You have to basically know what it says. You have to translate it. But everyone knows that don't get caught up. Don't get worked up over the translation that you find in any translation, because a human being today can only do that much. You gotta select a translation because you need a translation, but it's not sacred. It doesn't mean anything significant. So even over here, the Targum over here on our page over here says that it means in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi may have been aware of this. Rashi doesn't give this any credit. Rashi says, yeah, very nice. Very nice, an English translation of Tehillim. He wrote that, but Tzilbo here means in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Yoinasan ben Uzziel says something, oh, Rashi takes it seriously. When Onkelis says something in Chumash, Rashi takes it seriously. Rashi here takes Menachem and Dunash much more seriously than he'll take the Targum, because the Targum is not a real Targum. Who says Rashi even saw the Targum? Maybe because Rashi says the person who translates like this is Lo Yitochein. He says Lo Yitochein. Oh, but it says this in the Targum. Obviously, Rashi did not even see this Targum, or Rashi did not bother with this Targum, because it's not on a level that's worthy of Rashi's commentary. So
everything is negative here. Hebel, before, it looks like the three achs here. So it cannot be the Tzel Melokim. That's why Rashi didn't like it.
You don't want to mix holiness.
It looks like everything is negative. Not the Tzel Elokim. That doesn't fit.
Rav Kalman says that the you're saying an idea that the expression Tzelem Elokim automatically brings with it something very sacred. You can't just use the expression loosely. You can't just say every creature, every human being. No. Don't go use the term Tzelem Elokim on an apikoris. Don't a person apikoris. It's a bizoyan.
With the word ach, it's even worse. Ach.
Yeah, it's a chiddush because maybe one could argue, and you can say that no matter how low a person has stooped. The bottom line is, he is still created in the Tzelem Elokim. So you're saying, no, you cannot disgrace, you cannot defile the sanctity of the term Tzelem relating to a person who is not Bikoris. You can't do that, that's not nice. So therefore, that's why Rashi says, Lo Yitochein, don't go take a person who is busy his whole life in collecting, busy with Gashmias, in amassing wealth, don't defile the term Tzelem on such a person. That's not nice. You have to, so therefore, what then does it mean? So what does he say to Rashi? Rashi, the Targum, Brambot, B'diyoikna de Hashem, in the image of Hashem, Halech Givar, does a person travel? Biram, if that's the case, Loma, look at that word, that's a very interesting, Loma Mishtagin, to steig. Okay, you can steig in learning, and you can steig in becoming rich. You can steig in narishkeit. Steig doesn't necessarily mean only, we use it today in the yeshivachim. Steig in learning. So you can steig, it was an Aramaic term, I thought it was a Yiddish word. I thought it was Yiddish. It says over here in the Targum, mishtagin. Why are they mishtagin in konish, to collect money, v'lochokeim, and they're not wise, mitul mino kinashinun, as to why, and they're not wise as to why, mitul means why, they are v'lochokeim mitul mino kinashinun.
To take it.
And they do not know who will take what they collect.
Going on the word right. Yitzbar and Paisbar.
Yes. Mishtag Shim sounds to me like to gather, like a bush.
A collection?
To pile up.
Okay, fine. Why are they piling up? Why are they...
He also translates Selim, not the way Rashi did, but the way Radak did it. Bidiyokna, right?
In the image. So he said Menachem.
Oh. Okay.
The image.
Yeah.
So it seems what he's saying over here is that it seems over here that he's saying something to the effect that man, there's a contradiction in man. On the one hand, Hashem created a spiritual being, and this spiritual being really should be busy with spirituality. Yet, look around; these spiritual beings, they're busy the whole day with Gashmias. Not only Gashmias, the pursuit of Gashmias. He starts off, Biram, b'diyoikne de Hashem halech givar. Man was created to travel in the ways of Hashem. Man's purpose is to be a being of spirituality, to be b'tzelem elokim. Chaval, look what happened to him. Look what happened to him. What happened to him was, ach, hevel yehem moyun, He ends up pursuing mishtagin, lemar. He ends up collecting, amassing wealth, and he doesn't even know to whom his assets are going to go. It's bad enough, you know, it's one thing, a person, so he leaves spirituality and he pursues gashmias, at least binene from the gashmias. It's even worse than that. He just pursues Gashmias just for the sake of pursuing Gashmias, without even deriving the benefit from the Gashmias. It's a double chaval. So if you were not, I don't know if I'm saying correctly, but if Kalman is saying an idea, and I'm trying to elaborate upon his idea, that the Tselem Elokim refers to spirituality, and then Rashi says, Lo Yitochein, Rashi does not want to put the word Tselem Elokim in this pasuk whatsoever, but there's a mitzvah to be miyashev, what it says here in the Targum. And perhaps we can miyashev that the pasuk should be read as if it's saying is, it's like adding to the sadness. Look how sad the reality is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a person of spirituality. It's like when the Gemara says, one of the Amoraim was dying and another one of his friends came to visit and he said, Chaval, this beauty is gonna wither in the grave. He cried. One of the Amoraim, he cried over his friend, Chaval, look at such a beautiful person, such a beautiful being, and this beautiful being is gonna die and it's gonna just decay in the ground. That's what it's saying over here, to a certain degree. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a human being. Hai Shufra de Bola Ba'ara. That's the expression. Hai Shufra de Bola Ba'ara. Woe to this beautiful thing that will decay in the ground. I once heard a drush. That's why we blow Shofar. Because Shofar represents the principle of Shufra. And Rosh Hashanah is the day when we come to terms with our mortality. And we basically, we blow the shofar, it's an expression of grief. Hai shufra, humanity, a human being. Hayoyim hara asoylam. Today is the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a human being, Adam HaRishon. And a human being is filled with enormous potential. And chaval, hai shufra, when you're blowing the shofar, you're crying from within the shofar that this beauty, the beauty, the yoifi of this world, what a human being can accomplish, it's just kachaloim yof. It's just a dream. And this beauty eventually shuts down, decays, and leaves this world. Hai shufa de bola ba'ara. It's a very morbid, a morbid translation approach. Look at the Kiyah Shofar. Yeah?
Comparable to the word
Mishtag Shin. So Rebbe said it doesn't mean that. It means Gush. Rebbe Chol says the word
Shin here. I'm guessing Mishtag Shin.
Right, it's not likely because the word Shtag is a Yiddish. Yeah. And the relation between Yiddish and Aramaic is less than zero. There's no, the etymology of this English word comes from the Latin, blah, 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 blah. No. That's not the way it goes between Yiddish. Don't say English comes from Latin. Yiddish does not come from Aramaic. Sorry, no cigar for this one. So when it says here the word, it's just a coincidence, Mishtag Shin, maybe it sounds like the Steig in Yiddish. And over here, this person over here is Steiging. He's Steiging to achieve wealth, to be on from the top 10 richest people in Forbes magazine. No, that's not what it means over here. So he says the kavtosh of gush. Gush means a clump of earth. To bring together,
pile
the pile up, to make a pile of something. This fellow is involved in piling up assets,
wealth.
Pile of money, a pile of money. Reb Shaya, that book, Reb Shaya Mikedestir. So he basically the book they claim, you have to, if you believe all these stories, you're a shaita. If you don't believe any of them, you're not bikuris. That's the old adage, right? The old adage. If you believe every story, you're a ramesh a shaita. And if you don't believe any of them, you're not bikuris. Alma ne'mar on that book. That book has, one after another, story after story after story. Like, and I said, if you believe them all. And one of the stories they mentioned very many times, the people gave him money, piles of money. Piles of money. You know what's good about that book? The yesoidos, not the stories. Who says they're true, these stories? Who says they're true? But the stories, they bring out yesoidos that are definitely true. And one theme in that book very is that people gave him money. All of these gevirim, they came, they gave him money for pidyon. And he had piled up stacks of money. And he was able, according to the book, to discern where the money came from. And 99% of the money that people gave him, he basically felt was not holy money, was not kosher money. Came from, you know, Geneva and this and that little shtick. And basically, so what did he do with it? So it's interesting. There's a lot of interesting stories. So some of the money he went, he brought to the Beis HaKiseh, and he buried in the cesspool. The money he felt came from, he detected in his spiritual measure and spiritual meters that he. So there was a ma'aseh at the end of the book where someone found out. They took the money. They dug it up and they cleaned it and they used it, and that person got very sick and it was discovered. So from that time onward, he didn't do it. Instead, I think he fed it to animals. He bought money that wasn't kosher, that he felt wasn't kosher. He would purchase animal feed and would feed it to animals. It shouldn't go to waste. At least it shouldn't go to waste. But there are a lot of different stories. I don't remember all the stories. A lot of different stories about how he looked at money. He didn't see dollar bills. He didn't see numbers. He saw money. He saw in the money kedusha, and things that were very important. He would even give a penny. Kol hanoitel pruta me'iyov misparich. Chazal say, anyone who took a pruta from Iyov was blessed, because Iyov was a yoreh shemayim. And every penny that he had, he earned for real. You take one penny and you invest it in a stock, it'll go all the way to the top. You take $1 billion of money that comes from non-kosher sources, it'll be gone tomorrow. And, that's an interesting principle. Now, going back over here, over here, you make a pile of money. It says over here in the Targum, Lama Mishdak Shin, why are these people, Lama for what? Mishtak Shin, Konish, why are they busying themselves in collecting money? Konish, they gather. V'loch chachem mitul mino kina shinun. They do not even know, they're not wise enough. Lo yeda, who will gather in the money? Okay, so maybe we make a composite that it's a chaval, it's an expression of grief. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates man in his image. Person is meant to be involved in spiritual matters. Yet, most people, unfortunately, find themselves chasing after money their whole life and ignoring what the purpose is. All right, let's see the Radak. We should look at the Radak. Radak Pasuk Zayin Ach B'Tselem. The Radak. The Radak on page 355 starts off like the Mitzudos and Rashi. He says B'Tselem is a composite of B'Tsel Moves. Okay, Ach B'Tselem. Different idea. Okay, he's saying, he says, not like with Rashi, he says that a person does not know when he's going to die. Rashi did not say that. Rashi just said that he walks in the tzel mavis, you walk in darkness. The Mitzudois, how did he explain this? He says, he didn't speak about death. Even the word tzela means the tzel maves. It just means the person is groping in the darkness. You grope over here. The Radak adds a nakuda by telling a person does not know when he's going to die. A person is living. This is a very good continuation of what we learned before Yom Tov, of where David asks Hashem, "Hodieni Hashem kitzi, let me know when my end will come." So the truth is, no. A person will never know when his end will come. A person lives in darkness. He does not know when his end is. Again, the Radak. Radak. Ach, b'tzem b'choyshech yisalech kol yomov, ki lo yeda yoyim moysoy v'tzelem, choyshech, v'chayim l'shon aravi, tzelem b'nekudo al hatzadi, or the tzadi. There is a dot on the tzadi. Do we have a dot on the tzadi? I don't see any dot on top of it. We have to see that. V'chayim l'shon aravi, tzelem b'nekudo al hatzadi. Choyshech, it means darkness. Now, what does it say over here in the Mincha Shai? No Mincha Shai on this. No Mincha Shai, about that, it doesn't say. V'yesha, some say Min Tzalmoves.
Something
in Arabic that he's talking about. Could be, okay. In Arabic, does it have a dot on the letters? Like in English, on top of an H. How do you write Chaim in English? H with a dot on top. H with a dot on that is Cho. Cho. Anyone do that today anymore?
No.
Old fashioned. Okay, min salmoves. Salmoves, min salmoves. So, according to his first interpretation, the word tzela means darkness. darkness. According to the second interpretation, he says the same thing as means the shadow of death. Sheperush also means choshech. Ve'einenu nochon. He does not like that. Why not? Ki tzalmavis in yonesh shtei milos, two words. Tzel mavis. Okay, so he's rejecting that. So, I mean, what's the difference between what's the difference? He just said the first time, go back to the first translation, the word tzela means darkness, period. No, darkness. And the second interpretation is the word tzalmavis, tzela, is really two words. It's two words. It's tzel mavis. Radak says, I don't like that. If the Pasuk meant to say Tzalmavis, so it should say Tzalmavis. Let it say Tzalmavis. It does need to invent a new word which represents Tzalmavis. Therefore, the first interpretation says Tzalim means darkness mamish. V'yesh mefarshim b'tzalim kimashmo'oi, what Menachem said, which Rashi rejected, and which we found in the Targum, b'tzalim kimashmo'oi perushoi ki adam yishtane b'tzalmoi miyoyim al yoyim. A person changes in his image from day to day.
Shapeshifter.
Now, what does that mean exactly? A little bit complicated. One more time, these words. It's a very, very deep thing over here. A person is yishtane b'tzalmoi in his image. Miyoyim el yoyim umi eis leis. Badmus in his appearance. Like, I guess what it means is when the sun is shining, when the tselem shade.
In a state of change.
Wait, so let's explain over here. Let's make some clarify. Tselem
in motion, like a river is always in motion.
No,
right?
I think what he means is it means a shadow. This translation, we learned image. We learned in the Targum the tselem Elohim. We learned that like an idol, right? An idol, an image.
An idol.
Is that what it means? Maybe what it means over here is tselem over here means shadow. Tsel. It's just a magnified form of the word a shadow. And when the sun travels throughout the day, let's see what it is again. Ki adam yishtane b'tzalmoi. What does that word mean over here, b'tzalmoi? What does that mean? Let's free further. Miyom yom meisleis b'demus, in appearance. K'mer ha-nohar ha-mishapech u-mishalech v'tzalmoi oimed, or nusach acher oiver. What does that mean?
You know, no, it means he's constantly changing. He's constantly like in a state of flux. Like
okay.
Like a river, you know, is constantly moving, and he says the way the river appears changes too. But I just think it's, you know, there's a word mercurial, which means, you know, subject to change.
Okay, so you basically think that people are different. People go through in their life many tekufos. Masha yaseh hazman lo yaseh hasechel. The way you react to an event every year is different. Your frame of mind, your she'ifos, your needs,
even your appearance.
Your appearance, that's for sure.
Changes.
From before you have, after you have 10 pounds.
Age and then, yeah, various ways, how you dress, all kinds of things.
Exactly. You're very much influenced by your environment. Your environment. A person throughout their life is always in a state of change. You're always learning, growing. Unfortunately, person can have yuridois, aliois. A person is in a constant state of flux. He's in a constant state of change, in growing, adapting, and living life. That's what he means to say. The river, there's always water flowing, but it's not the same water. The water that flows now, this moment, is not the water that was flowing yesterday, but it's the river is the river. A person is a person, but the ideas that are going through a person's mind and how he reacts, what his goals are, what he yearns for in life is different at every passing day. Okay, and then he says another interpretation of Yachachem Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, Perash. Now, by the way,
Mardim also talks about Zerem Elokim.
Who?
Mardim.
Okay, we'll come soon. Let's first finish the Rashi. Okay, we'll come to the Malmusun. Let's first finish the Radak. Now, by the way, We'll finish with the Radak. What does the end of the Pasuk then mean? Well, how does this interpretation of the beginning of the Pasuk fit with the end of the Pasuk? If the Pasuk begins with the words, Ach, B'tzel, Yisalech, Ish, a person is always in a state of change. Of change. Ach, Hevel, Yehem, Moyun. The common denominator of all of his different states of change, states of being, it's all one, it's all futile. It's all a collection of Havel Havolim HaKol Hava. Is that what he means to say? Person, what do you think? You know, at least when I was young. Oh, then life had meaning. Nah, it was a waste of time then also. I get old. Oh, now I understand what life is all about. Nah, waste of time. Middle-aged. No, in every single state of life, no matter where you are, it's all the same. Havel Havolim HaKol Hava. It seems that's what he's saying according to this interpretation. Because it begins, Ach, B'tzelem Yisalech Ish. A man is in a state of change, of movement. But you know something? It's really all the same. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Ach, Hevel Yehamayun, Yitzvav Lo Yeda Mi Yisram. That's the common denominator of everything that goes on in life. Okay, then he quotes Ibn Ezra, V'achacham Rabbi Avraham ben Ezra, Perash, Ki tam tselem ma'areches ha'kechavim, tam tselem, the meaning of the word tselem refers to the ma'areches ha'kechavim ha'meshoysim shlo yamdu rego echor al maskoynes achas kein yishtane ho'odam. We compare man to the stars. Just like the stars, there is not a moment in time when they all are in the same position. Everything is in a constant state of movement. And then they're never lined up. Even though every once in a while you hear in the news that, oh, today there's something amazing happening, that these planets are lining up with each other, the moon is lining up with these planets, and azoy, and azoy, and azoy. Yeah, that's all nice and fine when it comes to the moon, the moon and some planets. But what about the stars? The stars are always in a constant state. The constellations are always in a constant state of movement relative to one another. So for everything to get back together, from our perspective, from the time of Maaseh Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the sun, the moon, and the stars, the planets, in their location, did it ever happen ever again that they were all exactly in the same location from our perspective here on Earth? Probably not. It would probably take a billion years for something like that to happen. It's true, every 28 years, the sun lines up to the same position that it was relative to the moon, the Machzor Gadol, correct? The Machzor Gadol is every 28 years. When the sun returns, relatively speaking, its original location relative to the planets. Is that correct? Well, that makes no sense either. Every 28 years is the Machzor Gadol. Every 19 years is the Machzor Katan. Okay, we have to go through all the sides of the Birchas Hachama Sugis. Every 19 years, the moon returns to its original location relative to some other bodily, heavenly...
The lunar and the solar year are exactly the same at that 19-year period. They match up.
The lunar and the solar year.
Year match up the days.
That's the Machzor Katan. And what is the Machzor Gadol? The sun? Relative...
Doesn't it have to do with Yovel?
No. Birchas Hachama. Birchas Hachama is when the sun returns to its Wednesday night. The sun returns to the same exact location it was in on Wednesday night, the way it was at Maaseh Bereishis. That's the Machzor Gadol. The sun is in the same location that it was relative to wherever. Okay, we're going back, but what about the stars? When you want to go and look at the moon relative to the sun and relative to the stars, the constellations, these are things that I have no understanding of, then that can take even, who knows, millions and billions of years. Okay, so over here, Radak over here is saying in the name of the Ibn Ezra that the Tselem is the Mareches HaShamayim. Let's see inside. on page 355, Shom Aleichem Rav Mayevsky. Gemar Chasim Tova, Shom Aleichem Mordechai Bidenstock. Gemar Chasim Tova. And all the other people that I did not say hello to, greetings, sorry for being so impolite.
Mordechai Mintz.
Mordechai Mintz, I'm sorry. I'm looking, I'm also in the corner of my eye, I see Mordechai Bidenstock. He's writing on the other side of the screen. He's right behind you.
Okay, right next to me, by my side.
Hitaka is, he really is, it's funny. Okay, let's now continue over here. We have over the Tselem. The Tselem he learns over here, this relates to the Mareches HaShemayim. Let's look in Tselem one time over here, in the name of Ibn Ezra. It's on Pasuk Zayin, page 55. Ach b'tzavei Achacham Rabbi Avraham Ibn Ezra. Perash, ki tam Tselem, what is the tam Tselem kama? I guess where tam means, what is the meaning of the word Tselem? The answer is, it means the Ma'areches HaKoychavim, it means the arrangement of the stars. HaMesharsim, who minister before Hashem, Shelo Yamdu Rega Echad Al Maskoines Achas, they are never stationary. The stars, all of the heavenly bodies are in a constant state of motion. Cain, and this is a mashal for man. Man as well is in a constant state of motion. Cain yishtane ha'adam. So tselem means the heavenly bodies. That's why the whole new translation. And therefore we say, ach b'tselem yishalach ish. Man, we have to read this pasuk backwards, man travels continuously similar to the tselem, to the heavenly bodies, which are always in a state of motion. So how many translations do we have already so far? Many. Either we learn it means it's a composite of two words, tsel moves, or it means the image of God. It means Adam. The word tselem is a code word for Adam. Again, the first pshat was tsel moves. The third interpretation was the word tselem itself. It's not a composite. It means darkness. Fourth interpretation, Ibn Ezra, tselem means the heavenly bodies. And the fifth interpretation means the demus. Not image, not to be confused. It means, go back to what the Ibn Ezra says, kimashmo'oi uperushoi, kiha'adam yishtane bitzalmoi. It means a person's image. But it's not a marshal, it's not coming to trigger the expression of tselem elokim. When you take the word tselem, and you want to use it as a backdrop, you want to use it as a dogma for Adam, then the word tselem triggers the term tselem elokim. Man is created in the image of Hashem. The Radak is saying another pshat. Tselem means demos, image, but it doesn't have anything to do with Hashem. It means man's state of being is motion. Man in motion. Man is a tselem that is always yishalech ish. Okay, it's hard to really put your finger on the translate the words literally. Five translations for the word tselem. Whoever thought the word tselem could be so complicated? Adam, tselmoves, darkness, a state, man in motion, and then we have this last interpretation, it means the heavenly bodies. Next. Now, as we've mastered the meaning of the word tselem, what's the second half of the pasuk according to the Radak? Ach hevel yehem moyun. It is man is in a, what was the word we had before? Man, he does everything in a state of futility. Lehevel heim hoimim lesayif mamom. They are in a state of commotion to assemble wealth. Vehu yitzbar hamamon ma'atma. Notice that the Radak says the word yitzbar refers to cash. Cash is king. There's no gear. Aser simei teshuva. Hamelech. Hamelech HaKadosh. Cash is king. Okay, so over here, you're dealing over here with notice that he disagrees with Rashi. Rashi says that Yesafun refers to grain. He says it refers to money. For Yitzvar Hamamon Ma'at Ma'at V'lo Yedami Yesaif Oysay Koloimar B'moysay. Who's going to take the money when he dies? After he dies, who's going to get the money? The Yitzyen Mibay. So who's going to be the one that's going to take the money out of his house? Is going to collect the assets. Okay, that concludes Dradach. Now we're going to go take a look at the Malbum. The Malbum on page 345, which finishes the Malbum, we have to stop slithering. Page 354, Pasuk Zayin, in the Malbum, page 354. Ach, B'tzelem Eloki Yitzhalach Yesh Meshiv Loimar. This is a response. This Pasuk, according to the Malbum, is an answer. Ki Soid HaNefesh U'madua Churkiva Im HaGviya Bo'ifin Zeh. He's explaining over here the secret of the neshama and why Hashem has trapped it or has mixed it, has binded it to the body, to the gashmis. Nigla etzlai shehu mitzad. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken the neshama, has put it into a guf. Mitzad she adam niver b'tzelem elokim, because man is created in the image of Hashem. Shuhatziur shel hoelokus hamaniges olam hagadol shekimoi, just as shaguf haklali. Okay, so the next page now. Next page, page 356. Shaguf haklali shehu hoelam hagadol hu gam kein nosun tachas chukim tiv iyim kivuim uvoi sisla de shoelokus lahanig oisai ben hogas bichiris. I'll translate it in a moment. So to borrow es adam b'tzalmoi, shegufoi hi tziyur ha'olam ha'tivi im koichosav v'chukav ha'tiviim v'nafshay ha'manheges oisoy b'koich ha'chavshis v'ha'bechira hu ha'tziyur ha'lokus asher ba'olam. Period. Okay, so what he's saying over here is that Adam is an Oilam Mole. What does Chazal say? Every single person is an Oilam Mole. Every single person is a microcosm of the entire world. And his neshama is a microcosm of Hashem. So everything goes in parallels. Every person, the body of a person, is the same way a person has hands, the world has hands. The same way a person has feet, the world has feet. The same way a person has a heart, the world has a heart. What part of the world is the heart? Maybe Yerushalayim. Okay? What part of the world is the spinal column? I don't know. But this is the principle. This is a very famous principle. It's not only the Malbim who says this idea. Every single person, there is a direct parallel between the body, the physical body of man, and the larger world. Now you can explain that in many dimensions. You can look at the world as only this earth, or you can look at this world including the stars, the moon, the sun, and all the galaxies, all of the unknown out there. Let's make it very simple and just use man. We'll limit our idea to planet Earth. Every single part that is found in our body, there is a parallel that can be found on this globe, on planet Earth. Now, what are these things? It's a little bit hard to understand. Where in this world do you find the eyes? The eyes. Where are the eyes of the Earth? Where is the nose of the Earth? Where are the feet of the Earth? I don't know, but this is the concept. Now, after we realize that we are just a parallel to this world, the body, every single person is just really a microcosm of the physical earth. What about our neshama? Our neshama parallels Hashem's kaviyachol neshama, who is manig the olam. There's a world, is the guf, and Hashem is the neshama that's manig the olam. In order for Hashem to give us an appreciation of this, Hashem created, right now there are approximately 8 billion examples out there. 8 billion examples of this concept for us to understand. there are bodies, and in the body there is a neshama. And just as we understand that our neshama is manhig, our guf, we should appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence is manhig this world. Okay, the Malbim, the way he says this is incredibly eloquent. Okay, we don't have time to go through this again, but his language is really off the charts, awesome, and how he expressed this concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're just a dogma, and Hashem is doing us a chesed. Hashem created us in such a way in order to give us the ability to appreciate how Kadosh Baruch Hu operates this world and other worlds in the same exact manner. There appears to be physical elements, but those physical elements are really under the control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will and desire. You don't believe it? Look at yourself. Every person has a physical body, organs, limbs, and they're all under the authority and the control of his neshama. So we appreciate that. So what's now so hard for us to go and make a leap and understand that the same way we can relate to this within ourselves, we have a guf, and our guf is controlled by our neshama, there's a massive world out there. And there are events that happen all the time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the neshama that's manig, the wider and infinite world that exists outside of our little Dalet Amos. All right.
It's interesting that it changes from Adam to Ish. Mm-hmm. The previous pasuk, Heaven called Adam mitzav sela, ach betzelem mitalech Ish. Mm-hmm. Ish is a higher degree of
Well, some said so. That depends. That's subject to discussion.
Ish is
Adam, ish represents enosh, represents weakness. Adam is there are different interpretations. Adam mitzarecha means earth, Adama. Adam came from the Adama, but Adam also represents Adame lo Elyon. Nevuchadnezzar said, Adame, I am similar. Adame Dimyon. A person is a parallel to the Elyon. It represents both. Ish has milus, and ish, the mile of an ish is that ish is a plural. There is no plural for the word Adam. There's no plural. Adam literally means a single man. Because there is no plural, so we have a tendency to say the word Adam as humanity, mankind. But there is no plural. There's no plural for the word Adam. Ish, there is ish, and then we can come together to become anoshim. Ish gives us the humility of the dimension of the ish, allows us to come together to be mitzdoref to a more powerful entity called anoshim. But ish also represents weakness. Enosh, mo enosh ki sis kedena. What is an enosh? Enosh is as a connotation and an exact translation of weakness. There's a lot more here. We have to mishnah to do tomorrow. We'll take a very short break. There's no coffee today, everybody. I'm sorry. No coffee today. And we'll take a short break. Then we'll learn a little bit about the halachos of Tzom Gedalia. And maybe just a tinge of Agadita before we take a break until tomorrow.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
This is a calendar